fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 17th day of November, year of our Lord, 2017, welcome to the John Moore Show. Prepper tip of the day. I want to encourage all of you to get your winter car kits together. Winter car kits. It's going to vary depending on where you live. If you live in an area where they have gates on the interstate highway, if you've never been north, you don't know what I'm talking about. Once you get far enough north, they have gates on the interstate highway to keep you from getting on the interstate and to force you to get off because of violent snow, ice conditions. That's where you know you're in some serious winter areas. So get your car kit together. You can figure this out. Make sure you've got what you need, a way to keep warm, some a little extra food, a way to charge up your cell phone, for example, if the car is dead, a way to signal people that you're stuck in the snow, some kind of bright orange fabric that you can get up high above the car, because the car will get covered up with snow. So there's more to it. That's just a quick overview. We have a patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began his lifelong quest to become very experienced in radio frequency engineering and radio communications, especially ham radio communications, just more than half a century ago. And we're going to focus, at least starting out, on power supplies for these radios. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, John. How are you today?
Well, wonderful. I had a great night's sleep. Of course, I sleep on energy cleaner every night and woke up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to go at them. Well, Tom, you know, the things that you and I take for granted, it's just part of who we are. For probably most Americans, they have a very cursory knowledge of power for these radios, batteries, the different types of batteries, and so forth. So we're going to educate them this morning on that, aren't we, sir?
We sure are. We'll do the best we can.
Okay. Well, the majority of these radios run on 12 volts DC, don't they, sir?
Well, they do, John, and technically the specifications usually call out 13.8 volts, which would be the approximate charging voltage in an automotive system.
Right, right. Well, we common terminology is 12 volts. Now, there's different ways to achieve that goal. and we're going to talk about those different ways. First of all, since there's such a huge interest in what's called handy talkies, and many people who aren't in the radio world call walkie talkies, which came out of the World War II Korea era, by the way. Handy talkies typically have a battery that's part of the unit. Most of the time for the better radios, it's a easily removable battery, isn't it?
That's correct, John. And, you know, some of the newer radio equipment, the portable radios, are using similar circuitry that's in the cell phones, which will operate, in some cases, under 4 volts, typically 3.3 to 3.7 volts. So the electronics has gotten better over the years, and it's been engineered to operate at much lower voltages, and that's where some of the HTs, the ham radio and commercial two-way radio handheld products are headed. So they may use 12 volts or even higher voltage for charging to charge those batteries, but it's always dropped down to a lower voltage inside that circuitry to charge that lower voltage battery. I know some of the equipment's heading that direction.
Now, what I'm about to say applies to a family or a group of people who want to have handy talkies for themselves, for their group, their family or their group. Say it could be a church security group. It applies to those types of people that want to have handy talkies for 2 or 4 or 10 or 20 people. And here it is. You need to make a decision before anybody buys one radio of a radio that will be good for everybody for the following reason. Compatibility of batteries, accessories such as speaker mics, holsters, and so forth, and antennas. It makes your logistics tremendously more simple if the group chooses one style radio where they have one style charger that fits all the radios, one style battery that fits all the radios, holsters that fit all the radios, and, of course, battery interchangeability. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a logistical nightmare, aren't you, Tom?
Well, very true, John. And the type of, you know, I'm not a huge fan of HTs. They have their place for local short-range communications. I don't use them for any long-range applications at all, period. But they're great for around the farm, close to home, from car to car if you're following somebody and giving directions and so on. But I think the absolute most important thing to do is make sure the chargers you have can also operate on 12 volts and have a cable or cord set up to where you can plug it into the accessory outlet in a car and power that charger and allow it to be charged while you're on the road. I think that's a very important thing to take into consideration. In the event the utility powers out, you don't have a 120-volt outlet to plug in your AC-powered battery charger, you can always use the car.
Well, I suggest getting both, quite frankly. The 12-volt car charger simply plugs into the cigarette lighter. But in the back of my Lincoln Town Car, I have an inverter, and I can plug in a regular 110 AC battery charger in there, or a refrigerator, or a power saw, or a television set, or a computer.
Right.
Whatever.
That's very handy.
It is
handy. That's very handy.
It's very handy. And it's there 24/7 for use as needed. But I like backups on the backups. The 12-volt accessory power that you plug into the cigarette lighter is very inexpensive and very handy, and typically can fit, and you can put it in a Ziploc bag and keep it in a glove box. They're very compact, don't take up much space, and it's right there when you need it, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it is. And considering backups, John, you may only need 2 or 3 HTs or say maybe 5 for your group. If you need 5, I'd say get at least 10 to 12. And I only use usually 2 or 3 myself for a group. And for that particular Motorola radio, I've got about close to 20 of them. So
right.
You never know when you need to pass out a few more.
Yeah, well, extra radios is part of it, but extra batteries is just as big a part of it. Whenever I go out into the field on operation, I always have one fully charged battery attached to the radio, and at least 1 second, possibly two, depending on the operation, fully charged batteries for backup for that radio. And so I would get at least minimum two batteries for each radio, and if you can afford them, three batteries for each radio. Right, Tom?
That's absolutely correct, John. Carrying a spare battery is like carrying a spare magazine for your pistol. It's
absolutely
the same thing.
It is exactly the same thing. And the same thing with flashlights. Since we're talking about, I have my tactical vest that I use when I respond here locally has a very powerful handheld flashlight and a special tactical battery carrier with six extra fresh batteries in it, ready to go for instant use.
Yeah, that's perfect. I've noticed that you always do carry a flashlight with you, John. That's a pretty wise thing to do.
That's just the one you can see.
Yeah, right. And I really enjoyed the demonstration, that new flashlight you got. I don't know if you're able to talk about that yet, but I found that very entertaining.
I'm not selling them, but as with most things involving electronics, they get smaller, more powerful, and less expensive. So I sold one of my neighbors my stun gun that I had. I'd carried for probably 10 or 15 years. He needed it to take care of some stray dogs. And I went ahead and upgraded and bought a new one for myself. And I demonstrated to you on the parking lot after dark outside the restaurant. And it's pretty spectacular, isn't it?
Well, it was like a miniature lightning show. It was very interesting.
Yep.
And that could be a very important thing to have on you, if the situation got desperate.
Right, right. And it's a combination, very powerful flashlight with the current state-of-the-art technology and a very powerful stun gun technology also. But none of these devices are anything more than a paperwork unless they've got a properly charged battery, are they?
That's correct. That's right.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the batteries themselves. Now, back in the 70s, we were just pleased as could be that there was such a thing that came about as it was called a rechargeable battery. Because before that, now I'm talking about, I guess 1974, 1975, along in there, thereabouts, give or take a year or two, they came out with what they called rechargeable batteries, and they were NiCads, nickel cadmium. And we found out pretty quickly the deficiencies of those batteries on one hand. On the other, that's all we had. We had no choice, did we, Tom?
That's all that was really available up until recent times. The battery technology, of course, has gotten really good, especially in recent years. Some so good that one minor malfunction inside that battery, the whole thing melts down and sets things on fire. So
right.
Those are rather dangerous. Right.
That's the lithium-ion batteries, which have internal electronics. But the nickel metal hydride is now the preferred rechargeable battery. And there's different versions. What people want to get is the low self-discharge, LSD, low self-discharge nickel metal hydride batteries. And if you can avoid getting the NiCads, you want to avoid them. Because they have issues. First of all, they develop a memory, which shortens the useful charge that it has, that it retains. And then they also have internal issues that also degrade the value and integrity of the battery, don't they, Tom?
That's true. And the nickel metal hydride is what I use on my portable radios. Back in the 70s, we were using the Motorola HTs that had the nickel NiCad, and John, they would develop internal whiskers. The metallic elements in there would grow and cause what they called whiskers, metal whiskers, that would short out the cell internally. And there were all types of tricks that everybody used to blow the things out. We'd put high voltage for just a few seconds to the battery, and that would typically blow those whiskers out almost like a fuse. It was just like blowing a fuse, and then the battery could be charged again. But it was a nightmare messing with NiKids, and I wouldn't recommend anybody even think about using them today. I'm sure they're better than they used to be 30 and 40 years ago, but those nickel metal hydride are the absolute best all around. Minimum problems, low cost relative to others, and the weight to power ratio is not too bad. I mean, there are some advantages of having very lightweight batteries that can source a tremendous amount of power. There's also a lot of danger there those details get worked out.
Right. Now, I was at my local power sports dealer, Kawasaki dealer, getting my oil change on my motorcycle yesterday, and I was looking at electric powered utility vehicles. What my neighbors call side by sides, four wheel drive utility vehicles, and they now come in an electric version. And it turns out the manufacturer Polaris is going mostly to the lithium ion batteries for their high end side by sides, but they still offer the lead acid batteries as entry level, which is right at $12,000, by the way, for the least expensive one. And I was telling the salesman, I said, there's no way I'm going to get one of these vehicles with a lithium ion battery, because they have internal electronics that are known to become defective and cause fires or even explode. So I was strictly focused on the lead acid versions of those little buggies, little side-by-sides, as we call them here locally, to power it and be safe. So people need to be, I mean, you could spend $18,000 to $20,000 on one of these side-by-sides, Tom, as much as an inexpensive automobile. And
transformer-looking thing, and it charges up your cell phone. Most of those are what's called a switching power supply. And if it does have a transformer, it's more like a little coil in there, and it operates at a very high frequency, usually maybe from 20 to 40 kilohertz. And if you're going to power any kind of HF-type radio equipment, I don't like switching power supplies. I like what's called a linear power supply, which is basically a transformer and then some diodes and capacitors and maybe sometimes some coils to smooth out the rectified AC power, and then there's some regulator circuitry in there to maintain exact voltage.
Tom,
I prefer that type of power supply.
We're losing people here. They didn't know what to do. They don't need to know what goes on inside the box.
Oh, okay. Well, you tell me, John, and I'll tone it down.
Okay.
But basically, you have two types of power supplies: just the old-fashioned linear power supply, and then you have the newer switch mode. I don't like the switch mode power supplies at all.
Okay. Well, let's get back to that after the break. We got a break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieces.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. That toll-free order line is 800 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. It's taken 3 years before I could offer the Intershelter domes for sale. During those 3 years, several different governments and militaries were taking all their production. The Intershelter Dome homes may be just what you've been looking for to provide affordable, energy-efficient, permanent, and attractive housing. These dome homes are prefabricated units that can be assembled in a few hours by two men with a ladder and simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that's very, very unique. Check them out at my website at thelibertyman.com. J.R. Moore here on Friday the 17th of November. I just got a note from my engineer. We're having some issues with getting the signal out here for our radio show today with the streaming servers. It looks like there may not be that many people listening live right now, but the show is being recorded and will be in the archives for people to listen to at a later time. And I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen, but it is the way it is, and we're dealing with electronics here, aren't we, Tom?
Well, we are, and when you're dealing with electronics, almost anything can go wrong, and it happens almost instantaneously at times.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's get back to these power supplies for these base stations. Let's explain in layman's terms what people want to get the best quality signal and what they don't want. So in real simple terms, Tom.
Okay. And then, John, I'll describe how I power some HF equipment here, which has worked out very good for me at a very low cost. Okay. First of all, you have the old style called linear power supply, and they'll actually be marketed that way. It'll say linear power supply. That's the old style with a big transformer. They're very heavy, heavy duty. Plugs in the wall, takes 120-volt AC power from the wall and converts it into the 12 volts needed to power that, and 12 volts DC, by the way, it's needed to power that radio equipment. They're normally very reliable. That's what I use. I use a form of that, and in a minute I'll give you the exact model numbers and how you can find them. All right, then number two, we have the switch mode power supplies, and or they'll be called switching power supplies. And what these do is take the AC power from the wall outlet and they chop it. They electronically cut it up, slice it up, and then take little slices of that and turn it into the DC power. These are very, very efficient power supplies. They work great. They're fantastic. And by the way, John, that's what you buy these new LED light bulbs, the LED fluorescent bulbs. All of the new style light bulbs use these switching power supplies because they're inherently very efficient. Now, the downside to switching power supplies, and some of them, if you get
now, let me help you out here, Tom. The way to identify these is you got a cord that plugs in the wall. Then a black plastic box, it's part of the cord, going to the device, and then the cord leaves that black box and goes into the radio.
Well, yes, either type of power supply on the smaller units, that large plug can either be a transformer or a switching power supply. It should be marked right on there. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. But the little chargers for cell phones, and I would say the chargers for a lot of these HTs are most likely switching power supplies. I wouldn't worry about those too much. If you're going to have a shortwave radio or an HF ham setup, personally, I don't care for the switching power supplies at all. And the reason for that is that circuitry inside that chops and cuts up that power and slices and dices and so on makes a lot of noise. And that noise will be radiated as interfering signals. Not real powerful. Sometimes they are loud, but usually they're in the background. But it can cause so much noise to your radio that you can't pick up the signals you're trying to hear. So for that reason alone, I don't like to use the switching power supplies on HF equipment or shortwave type of equipment. Otherwise, you can almost pick either type. And in most cases, if you purchase something new to power up your 2-meter or 450 megahertz ham station, VHF FM type ham station, in almost every case, are going to be switching power supplies if you get it from the factory or if you buy an aftermarket type unit.
Okay, hold that thought right there, Tom. We got a bottom of the hour break. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and a mattress pad 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822.
928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back here and more here on Friday, the 17th day of November. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Lots of fascinating things on my website, free downloads. If you want to know about EMP, well, go to the experts. And I've got the report from the experts right there at my website. It's a free download. Just scroll down the right side, and you'll see right just above the RBN logo, or the Rural Survival logo. It's a scrolling logo. I'm sorry. EMP Commission Executive Report 2008. This is the real deal from the scientists, the engineers who make their living dealing with these kind of matters. So it's a free download. It's about 300 pages or so. The first 90, the first 100 pages are the most important in terms of understanding what this matter is and how to mitigate. It's real important. So get your hands on that and print it out and read it and study it. Of course, also my website are energy cleaners. I'm working with Tom. We had a postcard drawing a week ago yesterday. A gentleman from Australia, his card was drawn. We have to calculate the postage, and he wants a couple of extra little accessories to get this ready to ship to him. And the energy cleaner, I use mine every night. The energy cleaner is a healing device, electronic healing device. That's what it is. If you're taking some kind of medication for arthritis pain, if you're taking some kind of medication for joint pain or back pain, you obviously need an energy cleaner. If you're taking some kind of medication to sleep at night, you need an energy cleaner. Long term, these medications, just read the package insert. You want to know what the long term effects are? Well, just keep taking them and you'll find out. Or you can read the package insert. Very harmful, as well as being expensive. Energy cleaner is only $285, shipping included. Keep in mind, I offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you're risking nothing when you get your energy cleaner. I just picked up a fresh batch last night. I got mattress pads en route from the manufacturer. When you place your order, I'm the guy that boxes them up and ships them out, priority mail, through the Postal Service. How about that? I do take PayPal, the most secure way to make any payment online, MasterCard, Visa. Checks can be sent to my address at thelibertyman.com. I have a toll-free order line. Don't try to call me. You won't get me. This is an order line only. 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about power supplies for communications equipment so that we can eliminate some of the mystery and help people achieve their goal. Right, Tom?
That's right, John. And I don't remember what we left off, switching power supplies versus linear.
Right. Right.
What I use on HF equipment, because you want something that generates very low noise, I use a linear power supply, and it's also interconnected with some deep cycle lead acid batteries. And this gives me the best of both worlds. I can run the equipment from the wall outlet, And if the power goes out, it's almost like an uninterruptible power supply, almost like the same thing you would use for your computer system. It just keeps running off of the batteries, and you can connect up as many batteries as you would like. The exact power supply uses from a General Electric Master 2 two-way radio base station. And if anybody can latch on to one of those, that is really one of the best power supplies, I think, that was ever made. It's got termination in there that allows you to connect the batteries right in. So that power supply will not only run all the equipment, it will also charge those batteries. And in the event of a power outage, it will seamlessly transfer the battery power right into your circuit, and your radios, they never even make a blip. They just keep running. And when the power comes back on, or if you can feed it again with a generator system or your backup system, it will start recharging the batteries, and then your radio equipment will be transferred back to the AC power that's being supplied to it. So it's a really, really good setup.
And who's the manufacturer of this again?
Well, it was General Electric. John, they don't make them anymore. It was Master 2. You can find them on eBay. I don't really know what they go for. I actually bought the entire radio system that came out of the St. Louis airport when they went to narrowbanding. They had to dump all of the equipment. By January of 2013, all of the two-way radio systems had to be operated in a narrowband system to comply with the new FCC regulations. So that put tons and tons and tons of radio equipment on the market that was headed for the scrap bin. Nobody wanted it. You could export it. You could set these things up and sell the repeater systems, the base stations to a lot of them went to Africa and South America. I think they're still using the older type of equipment there. This equipment is perfectly usable. There was nothing wrong with it. And in my view, John, that General Electric Master 2 radio system was one of the finest ever
made.
And that's
what it's called, the Master 2 radio system?
Yeah, but the way they spell it is M-A-S-T-R. There's no E in there at the end.
Okay.
And they abbreviate it, and it's called Master 2, Roman numeral 2.
Okay.
I bought a pickup truck. I mean, the pickup truck was literally full of the base stations. I didn't want the mobile units and all. I just wanted the base stations. And it filled up a pickup truck, and the guy wanted $25 for all of it. He saved it from going to the dumpster. The guy had an online ad, and he listed all his equipment. He said $25 for all of it. So I drove about 125 miles with the pickup truck to go get it. I knew what it was, and I knew it was valuable to have. These base stations, they operate. They're UHF, and that was what the police, fire, everything, all the utilities and law enforcement at the St. Louis airport was using this equipment. I took the power supply out of one of them, and that's what I use to power my HF station now, along with four deep cycle batteries that are connected in parallel. So those batteries, those 12-volt batteries, are charged off of that power supply, but also will run the equipment in the event of a outage. And it's just instantly switched over to the batteries, so you don't miss a beat. Works
well.
Great.
It's time to mention something else here, and that's how to properly maintain lead acid batteries. And I don't sell these devices. I think some are listed under John Survival and Tactical Gear. So I guess, in a manner of speaking, I do sell them. Assuming listings are still current, because I found out many of these Amazon listings have changed. But the company is called Pulse Tech, P-U-L-S-E Tech, T-E-C-H. And these are mil-spec devices. The U.S. military uses them, which is all I need to know. Lead acid batteries go bad for the following reason. Sulfur builds up on the lead plates incrementally, a little bit at a time, cutting down the amount of electricity can be stored in these batteries until the point where they become useless. What the PulseTech device does is send a reverse charge into the battery, knocking the sulfur buildup off the lead plates, basically doubling the life of these batteries. Now, a deep cycle 12-volt battery goes for about how much now retail, Tom?
Well, I don't know. The battery, I don't know, John. I've seen marine-type batteries for you can get a pretty nice, pretty good sized marine battery for around $100 or so. The batteries I use are actually from cell phone transmitters, cell phone, you know, cell sites, the main base station for cell phone
right,
systems.
Right, right.
That's what they're used for. That's what I use. And well, I think the list price on those were around $165 each. They're 55 amp hour batteries.
Well, regardless, good quality batteries is a nice little chunk of change. And if you can buy them every 6 or 7 years instead of every 3 years, you're obviously saving money, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. And those Pulsar units are really fantastic. They will extend the life. And many times you can take a used battery, it's all sulfated, maybe won't hold a charge or it won't take a charge at all. And you can force some current into it, give it a hot shot to get it kind of starting to take some
right.
power, and then put one of those units on there. It might take a month, but many times revitalize
right.
those batteries and bring them back to life.
Well, PulseTech does sell another device, a separate one, that's meant to do just that, take a battery that's at the end of its life and rejuvenate it. And that's a different type of device, and that costs substantially more. It's meant more for garages and places of business so they can have something they can use there on their premises. But the regular PulseTech device that I've been using now for about 20 years, they're not terribly expensive at all, around $35, $40, something in that range. They pay for themselves very quickly.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a wise thing to put one of those on the equipment. Now, I don't know if those things generate any noise, John, but when you're operating HF equipment, you want the lowest noise in the area as possible. And just by the design, those things most likely will generate some noise. So maybe perhaps when you're using the batteries on the equipment, you might not want that unit connected, but maybe on standby you could put a switch or something.
Well, a quick disconnect would be easy to rig up. A quick disconnect would not be an issue because your battery is there 24/7, but you're only using it a few hours a week at the most, typically. So that would be easily remedied.
Yeah, well, that's true, and it's just something to take into consideration if you are using a pulse unit on the batteries to keep them from sulfating. You notice noise in the radio or clicks and pops. It could be from that unit, so you might want to experiment disconnecting it temporarily and see if those
yep.
noise problems go away.
Yep. Yep. If they did, I would just simply cut one wire and attach a male-female spade connector, and which is a quick way to connect or disconnect any wire.
Yeah.
And with relative ease, which brings up something else, and that would be kits. I've put together, and I'm sure you have kits yourself, kits of tools and kits of parts to work on these radios, right, Tom?
Oh, you, John, you can't imagine the tools and the equipment it takes to do some of this. You know, there's little screwdriver units that are used to tune the radios that are... They have to be non-magnetic, they have to be this or that, non-conductive, they have to be this size, that size. So you have all types of tuning tools, and then, of course, you have different screwdrivers and nut drivers and things like that needed to get in and out of the equipment, get the cases opened and so on. They have tamper-proof screws and just everything you can think
right,
of. And then
right.
you need to there's a lot. Just to have the tools... the tools take up a lot of room. And
of course, the men I work with on these projects, their kits include surgeon's gloves, so they leave behind no DNA and no fingerprints when they're done.
Well, that's not a bad idea. That's right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I travel in some usual circles, to say the least, but most of these, and I like these... These little plastic storage boxes, typically they're about a foot and a half by a foot and a half, maybe 2 inches deep. They have all little dividers that I can put all the different connectors, because there's so many different connectors for radio antennas and power supplies, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, especially the antennas. Most of them use what's called a UHF connector. That's the most popular. And then there's BNC and N-type connectors. You get into the higher frequency ranges, and you'll see a lot of end connectors. And I'll tell you what, when you have to put one of those on a cable, that takes some skill. It's not you don't just hook it on there. You have to practice for a while to do those end connectors.
We're starting our ham radio club in May here, Tom. I believe it's May. I don't have that paperwork in front of me, but I'll be bringing some of my kits, and I would hope you bring some of your kits also to show people the tools, the boxes full of all the different connectors for butt connectors, spade connectors, and so forth for the different diameter wires, which are color coded, and it helps just to start out just getting one big box that has everything in it already when it comes to these connectors, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, as far as batteries and power supplies go, when you start dealing with higher power radio equipment, you have a considerable amount of current that's going through those wires. So you need to have the larger cable sizes to carry those currents. That's very important. And then when you crimp these connectors on there, what I always do, John, is after I connect up to a battery or a power supply, I actually test that connection by taking a very sensitive voltmeter, like a millivoltmeter, and any digital handheld multimeter can do this. Put it on the lowest scale and just go right on the positive supply, the positive pin of the power supply, and then on the other side of your crimp, where you just made your crimp, and measure the voltage drop across that connection. If you have, the lower the number, the better. So if you read a few hundred millivolts, you have a bad connection there, and you need to check it out. You want the lowest voltage drop across that connection. Another thing you can do is, after you operate the radio for a while, take one of those infrared-type thermometers that has the little laser pointer, and go right on that power connection and check to see if there's any temperature rise, because that power drop, or the voltage drop across there, that's acting like a resistor, and that will actually heat up. And you know, John, on that topic, you can take those infrared temperature probes. I like to go on the power panel once in a while after you're running appliances and maybe your electric stove or your air conditioner or whatever, and just check the circuit breakers. You can go up and down the panel and check those circuit breakers. You can find out if you have a bad breaker that's heating up, that could be a fire hazard. You'll identify it very quickly, because
that's
it
smart.
Will be a lot warmer than the ambient room temperature.
Right, right. And what's that piece of test equipment called again?
It's an infrared thermometer. You can buy them at Home Depot, Lowe's, $50 or less, and it has a laser pointer. You just point that laser. The closer you are, the more accurate it is. You can sometimes measure from 30 feet away. You can point
really?
At something, and absolutely. I've looked at power panels 15 feet away. Now it's much more accurate the closer you are, but you get a foot or two from those breakers and just start going up and down the panel. What you do is you measure the side of the power panel and just get, that's your base point, your baseline, and you find out what that temperature is. Maybe it's 70 degrees Fahrenheit, and then you start looking at the breakers. You can look at the main breaker. It may show a little bit of temperature rise, and you go up and down the bank of breakers, and you'll find the ones that are hot. Yeah.
Hold that thought, Tom. We got a last break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday the 17th of November. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about radio communications. People are listening to us, Tom. They're scratching their heads and wondering what this stuff is we're talking about. We're attempting to make it plain as simple as possible on one hand. On the other, people's wonderment, I hope, encourages them to get active and become part of a ham radio club. Right, Tom? Hello, Tom. Okay, looks like Tom's not there. Well, okay. got about 4 or 5 minutes left here in the show, and somehow we lost Tom along the way there. I don't know what happened.
If you can hear me.
I hear you now, Tom. We're
okay.
You're back.
Well, what I was saying is that if somebody would just go online and research ham radio clubs in their city or town or their local area, they'll find a group somewhere close by that they could visit. They'll always publish their meeting dates, and maybe go to the meeting and introduce yourself and tell them that you're interested in learning more, and they'll be more than happy to fill you in on what you need to do. And these groups usually provide the testing to get your license. And I've been told by several newer ham operators, John, that they had to spend about 15 hours of study time to learn the basics, to pass that test and get that license and get on the air. So it can be done in a pretty short period of time, and I always encourage entire families to do this. Bring the younger people along, bring the kids along, and they soak it in real fast, and they can learn it quickly, and you put the whole family on the air and set up your own radio network and do whatever you want. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You learn a lot. You have fun. You make new friends. There's social aspects of this, technical aspects of this, learning aspects to it. It's all a win-win situation, isn't it, Tom?
Well, it really is. And it is really is, John, an educational thing for the younger people. They can learn so much about electronics. They have the ability to build their own equipment, experiment in in real set radio settings, not in a laboratory environment, but actually put the equipment on the air, test it out, learn from their mistakes, retune it, increase the capabilities of the equipment. There's really no restrictions on what you can do as far as learning more about this. And I've always used the ham radio equipment as almost a test bed for my ideas on antennas and power amplifiers and just radio equipment in general. We've always used the ham radio bands to try out these new ideas and have built some pretty sophisticated systems in the past and some even recently. So it's a great test bed for an educational setting to try out ideas and just learn as you go on a do-it-yourself type of environment. And the young people really, really can learn so much from getting involved in this technology.
All right. Tom, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. We'll have you back next week.
Thank you, John.
Okay, we got a top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Phil Myers. Stay tuned.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.